praise thee, Lord, what will I do?
Will
the angels beckon me from heaven?
Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. That was kind of sad. Is God good? Yes, he's good. Do you love God? Sing it with me. I really love. If you love him, sing it. Oh, well, I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he sing it with me this morning. Yes. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't
know what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't
know what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen, amen. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. God is good. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in. If you're watching by way of television, if you're watching by way of live stream, if you're a member of this body and you're not able to be with us this morning, everybody say good morning. Good morning. That's as good as we can get without you being here. It's good morning, but we love to see you back at your very earliest convenience, and we miss you. If you're not here, we definitely miss you. If you're not a member of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, we'd love to see you also. We love it that you would no longer be not a member, but a member, especially if you're in the city of Houston. Well, I know if you're watching, you're in the city of Houston right now. And so you know where our building is, right on the corner of I-10 and Waco Street, right out of downtown. And so come by and see us. Come by and see us and come by and visit us, because there's nothing like being in the place. Amen. We're on lesson 5 of the authorized biography of Jesus Christ. We're on lesson 5, and we could spend an entire year just talking about Jesus. Our theme for the year, with all of our hearts, God commanded the children of Israel to love him with all their hearts, their soul, their minds, and he commands us to love him. And it's awesome that God would command us to love him. You know, that's pretty bold, to command somebody to love you. But when God controls the whole world, when he made everything in it, and he gives us all of these good blessings, he can command us. But you know what? He does not make us love him. And it's a choice that we have to make. And that's one of the reasons why we have to get to know God and his son. And he sent his son in his own image to this world that we might know him better, that we might love him like we should love him. And so we're studying about Jesus because Jesus made some bold claims when he was on this earth. Claims have been made about him that all power is in his hands, that his words are going to judge us in the last day, that if you believe on him, you have eternal life, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And if that be the case, then we need to know who Jesus is. And we need to know all about him, as much as we can about him. And we have been studying without reviewing all of the lessons at Jesus' young life, how Jesus knew at an early age why God put him on this earth, and he was to be about his father's business, and he didn't start his main ministry until he was age 30. So he went through all of this training and life's skill. He was subject to his parents. He was obedient to his parents even up until that age. And so we see that Jesus had some on-the-job training. He truly did. He truly did. And then after he was trained, he was baptized in the Jordan River. And as soon as he was baptized, he was put to the test. He was sent out in the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days, and the devil came visiting him. But Jesus endured the test. And that's where our lesson begins today. Because the byproduct of endurance, is power. It's power. It's confidence. It's completion. And we're studying about Jesus, but Jesus came to model, to give us a living example of how we ought to be living our lives. And he was the perfect model. Listen to the book of James chapter 1. Everybody's all right? Stay with me this morning. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. James 1, 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And it's amazing. When God gives us his word. But we have an example of how God wants us to apply. See, these are words on our pages. And obviously, those of us that are of any age, we already know that we've already been put to the test, many of us. But how are we responding? Are we regretting it? Are we complaining? Are we whining? Are we fainting? He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect, not sinless, but that you may grow. We may grow up and mature. Anybody need to grow up in here this morning? Yeah. I know. I'm telling you, I'm growing. I'm trying to grow every day. You know, every now and then something will come along and remind me, Gary, you're not there yet. Anybody ever had that experience? You thought you was mature. Somebody punched that button and everything came out. The wrong thing came out. Yeah, you thought you were mature. You got sick and, Lord, you just turned into just what's going on? You doubting everything. It says being perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lord have mercy, lacking in nothing. Endurance. My wife and I was taking a tour in New York, and we took a tour of the city. We had a great tour guide, and he was talking to us about the city, and we actually got to step on the grounds of Ground Zero, 9/11, where it happened. It was so many emotions sitting there watching that the waterfalls that they built right where the buildings were standing. And he was telling us all about New York, and the New York Marathon happens in New York, the biggest marathon, I believe, in the world. 50,000 runners run, and the guy was saying, he said, the Africans always win the New York Marathon. African runners, if you watched it, you see the African runners running across the finish line. Look like they can run some more when they finish in the race, and everybody else comes behind them. And that's been the case in quite a few of the races. And he asked one of the guys, he said, what's the secret? What's the secret? You know, some people say, well, because they black. No, it's not because they black. Now, you have to have some gifts and talents to run in the marathon. Now, you do. Now, don't you get out there trying to run that marathon if you haven't trained for it. But he asked one of the guys said, you know, the secret to is our training. the Africans train. There. If you get a chance, look on the internet. There are a number of mountains in Africa. They train in high altitude, and they run. That's where they train. He says, so by the time they get to New York and they're running in New York, he said, in the altitudes in New York, he said, man, this is like running, you know, just practicing. And so they go through this rigorous training, and that's what endurance does for us. So when you get somebody who's been through something, who's really been through something and another, and something comes along, you think may challenge, they are more prepared for something else that comes along. And Jesus exemplified the endurance. And go to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Was read in your hearing. And Jesus returned to Galilee. This is right after he had been tested. And the devil tempted him three times. And Jesus withstood the test. And it's amazing the energy and confidence you get after you've gone through a test. You don't know why God has you in this situation. Immediately after Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about now his ministry is starting. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. And you showed you a map a couple of weeks ago of Jesus in Galilee and the surrounding areas. Now, the news just don't spread about you when you're not doing nothing. And Jesus, after he returned in the power of the Spirit, and Jesus got busy every day of his life. He wasn't tired. You know, sometimes we act like we have all the time in the world. Can I ask you a question? What did you do yesterday? Yeah, I just asked a question. Because you know what? Too many days go by in our lives that when you just look back on the day, did nothing really happen. We do not use our time as if time is running out. And I wish I had the time to read you the days of Jesus' life and how he moved. He spread throughout all the surrounding, and he began teaching in the synagogues and was praised by all. Now, notice this. Now, this is the time that he's very popular. Some of the facts that we've been bringing about as we study about Jesus, the places that he went, where he was raised, the people that surrounded him, the people that were a part of his life mentioned in his biography, simply to confirm that this is not fantasy. Jesus is real. He really lived. And he worked this area, and notice this, he did not work in a vacuum. This is not secret writings. This is not something we're philosophizing about. And he began teaching in their synagogues. You know, the Jews, a lot of their life was around the synagogue. And what happened in the synagogue? It was the meeting place. It was where the scriptures were read, and Jesus knew there were going to be people there, and he taught. And I tell you what, they didn't let anybody teach in the synagogue. If you wasn't saying nothing, you wasn't teaching anything. Amen, somebody. And the Bible says he was praised by. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Luke 4, 31. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. Remember, Jesus' life before this time was fairly obscure, fairly quiet, low-key. Nobody knew really who he was. But once he started teaching, once he hit his mission, he hit the ground running. They were amazed. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 36. Luke chapter 4, verse 36. And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. Jesus was making a name for himself. People were saying, this man is teaching. Listen, Luke chapter 4, verse 40. While the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And laying his hands on each of them, he was healing them. Jesus is busy. He's healing, he's performing miracles, and he's teaching. That was his mission. He's healing folks. He's helping. You know, well, people, see, when you become popular, it's normally for a couple of reasons, couple of three reasons. That you have this great gift, this great talent that you have that people admire. That's why a lot of people admire sports figures, because they can shoot the ball or catch touchdowns or throw the ball. And oh, he's amazing. And everybody gravitate to that. Or you've done something bad and people know about it. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you do something evil, you're a mean person. How many of you heard of Adolf Hitler? Yeah. He was an evil man. And some folks have. Or you are helping a whole lot of folks. You become popular. You tell you what, if you give out $100 every day to somebody and see how fast people will know who you are. Yeah. And Jesus was healing folks. He was helping folks. I mean, I'm not talking about the healers of today. No, I'm not talking about the fake healers of today. Amen, somebody. Amen. I'm talking about real healing. I'm talking about taking a blind man who's been blind from birth and healing a blind man. That was Jesus. Now, if you had somebody sick in your family and you heard of Jesus, would you be trying to find Jesus? Amen. I would have been out of. Would you travel to go see Jesus? Yeah. You had people in the surrounding day. Jesus healing people. He's feeding folks. He's casting out demons, and everybody, you know, they didn't have the internet back then. But I tell you what, to me, people talk, don't they? Yeah, people talk. Hey, listen, man, I heard in Capernaum. Did you hear about this man who was in Capernaum? He was teaching in the synagogue, teaching stuff we ain't never heard before. I mean, teaching like he was the authority on the subject, and he was healing folks. This man, they say he turned water to wine at one of the weddings. They say that he healed a blind man, he healed a lame man, he healed all kind of folks. Man, his name is Jesus. And everybody was talking about, everybody say Jesus. No, listen, this is important. Because, see, as all of this time has transpired between when Jesus lived to now, there are those who would discredit who Jesus was. And even in Jesus' day, even after he did all of those things, that was still for. Now, he is very popular at this time. And everybody is talking. But be wary. This is about Jesus. But be wary when you are just seeking popularity for people just to know who you are. See, popularity, it can go just as fast as it come. You can be the hero one day. And you to go the next day. Amen, somebody. People will love you one day and talk about you and put you in the paper, but you do something wrong. Or when you say something or teach something that they don't like, they will paint you like the devil. Listen, and I notice. And we're reading these. Listen to what John said in John chapter 21, verse 25. John 21, 25. There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that not even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written about Jesus. See, even the record that we have is not nearly all Jesus did. He wasn't wasting time. And I'm telling you, do you wish that you could have been back there to see some of Jesus's? Yeah, I do. I like to see things. I like to see things. See, I could have saw him, you know, cure fevers. I could have saw when they dropped Jesus through the roof and this lame man and all these people were there. This man, and I know this is Leroy. Leroy been lame. He been lame for this man ain't never. Well, I know who he is. And he jumps up walking. And I wish I could have seen that. But you know what the Bible says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, we have the written record. And there are so many things in life that we haven't seen with our own eyes, but we know they happen. There are even things that happen every single day in our lives that we don't, and we put more faith in those things than we do in these things. And if you know this really happened, you know, because, see, there is nobody else that can match the record of Jesus Christ. Nobody else. And that's why God is he left this written record. And he left the evidence of all the living people that lived, all of the places that were there. He leaves this record and he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So stop, Gary, wishing that you were back there and just believe that it happened. Amen. Somebody. Now, everybody, listen to this. In that day, all these people knew Jesus. We might have not been there. Let me read you just a few. You remember, if we jump ahead, and I'm going to try to spend time on one of the last lessons that I do, and I may be next week, it may be the week after this, when we get to his death and his resurrection. But Herod, this would not be Herod the Great, because that Herod is dead. We read about that when we talked about his young life. This Herod that demanded that all the boy babies under the age of 2 years old be killed. He died shortly thereafter. But this Herod was there when Jesus was being put on trial. Go to Luke chapter 23, verse 8. Luke chapter 23, verse 8. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus. This is when they brought Jesus to Herod. Pilate sent him there. He's in your jurisdiction. He was glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time. Herod, who is the tetrarch, Herod, who would be the governor, if you will, he heard about Jesus. He heard all the people. Herod, you got this Jesus. This man is healing folks. He's performing miracles. He's teaching in the synagogue. Everybody, and Herod, I need to see this man. They bring him to Herod. And he said, I'm glad you're here because I wanted to see you for a long, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. Herod heard about Jesus. Yeah, yeah. And he was in a place that he hadn't seen him, but he heard about him. Who did he hear about him from? People? People were talking. Some of his servants talking. Yeah, here, man. They say this guy, he's healing folk. Everybody's following him. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody is praising him. So Herod knew about Jesus. Listen to this. Even when Jesus got on the cross, when he was there on the cross, two thieves were there on the right hand, on the left hand. Listen to one of the thieves as they talk in Luke chapter 23, verse number 3. Luke 23, verse number 3. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself. Even the criminals knew about Jesus. And he's there on the cross. Now, we don't know what he knew, but he knew Jesus' name. Why are you saying this, our Brother Gary? See, everybody that's going to heaven, everybody that's going to heaven or everybody that's not going to heaven, everybody's going to know about Jesus. Every person that ever lived will have heard about Jesus when we meet on Judgment Day. And so it's our choice to really believe that Jesus lived and did what he said he was going to do. Yeah, and the thief on the cross, he says, you're supposed to be Christ, save yourself. Lord have mercy. But the other thief on the right, he knew about Jesus too. And he put his confidence in Jesus. And he says, remember me. When do you come into your... Notice this. This man had to be there when Jesus was teaching some sermon. Because he knew about the kingdom, which we're about to get to in just a second. He knew that the main thrust of Jesus' existence was teaching about his kingdom. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, do you think there's somebody in here right now that got some devilment on their heart? Somebody would go rob a bank. Somebody would go do something evil. And they've heard the gospel before. Yeah. You never know who listened. You never know who come to worship. You never know who come to a funeral. You never know who's watching by way of television. You never know if somebody this morning is sitting in their house contemplating. Man, I need to get my life together. I don't want to hear that boogie. Don't put no guilt trip. No, you need to know Jesus. Amen. Jesus is merciful. And this thief on the cross, he recognized before it was everlasting too late to submit his will to the Son of God. Oh, well, do we serve? I'm just talking about Jesus. You know what else I love about Jesus? He's merciful. Yes, yes. We serve a risen Savior who loves us. He's merciful. You know, this man said, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, you know what? That's why God wants us to love us, love him with our heart. He wanted to love him sincerely with our mind. Jesus knew this man's heart. He knew what he had done. But Jesus didn't treat us like most of us would treat each other. Because no way we would have said, yeah, you can come on into heaven with me. We've been saying, no, you stole too much money. You lied too long. No, you're not going to make it. Joseph, listen to Luke chapter 23, verse 50. Luke 23, 50. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council. The council would be the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, listen, these are records outside of the Bible. The Sanhedrin made up of 70 something. Most of the times, it would be like our Supreme Court. This man was a judge, and he knew about Jesus. Now, some of you will put more faith in the Sanhedrin than you would in Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, he listened to what the Bible says. A man named Joseph who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man. Listen. Let's get all this prejudice stuff out of our hearts. There are good people everywhere. There are. Yeah, I want to ask you, are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? Don't raise your hand. You know, some by just association, you know. But they're good Republicans. You don't have to say amen. They're good Democrats. Amen. That's our political preference. Yeah. People with good morals. People who know what's right. You know what? I'm about to decide I'm not going to be Democrat or Republican. You know what I'm going to be? Christian. Bro, Gary, what are you? I'm a Christian. No, I'm talking about politics. I'm a Christian. Amen, somebody. Because, you know, I know some bad Democrats. And I'm just saying, this. I'm so sick of politics. When I say I'm sick of it, I just mean that we need some people who stand for what's right. Amen. Amen. And I know, you know, I know Brother Jamel and Sister Jamel work heavily in the political realm. And Brother Jamel, you keep holding up what's right. Sister Jamel, hold up what's right. Hold up righteousness. And I love it about, because see, we need some Christians in politics to hold people's feet to the fire. Amen. Somebody? Now, I love it. Joseph was a politician. Listen to what the Bible says, but he was good and a righteous man. And notice this. And then it goes, he says, he had not consented to their plan and action. Jesus stood before. He was before the council, the scripture says, in his trial. And Joseph was there listening to all of this foolishness, all of these lies they were. But Joseph did not consent. No, I don't agree. Thank you for somebody who stands up for what's right. And the Bible mentions his name. It says this. He's a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting, notice this, for the kingdom of God. He heard Jesus teach and preach about the kingdom of God. And when we study about the autobiography of Jesus Christ, his mission, why he was here, is to establish his kingdom. And then he went to Pilate and said, so when we get to his purpose, to the true purpose, why Jesus came to this earth. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. You turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 43. But he said to them, this is Jesus, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. I see, because when Jesus started healing, and when he started helping folks, and he started performing miracles, and he was teaching in the synagogue, they wanted him to stay there. Look, you can't leave. But he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Now, Jesus' primary mission was to teach people about the kingdom of God. He used healing. He used helping folks. He used serving folks. He used that as a tool to get people to see and understand what the kingdom of God would to be all about. And so he was, and it's like today, our ministry, our purpose, even as the Lord's church, is to preach the kingdom of God. And Jesus' primary, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. He used ministry to reach people. That's how he reached people's ears. See, you know, the Bible says that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill should not be hidden, but you put a light where everybody can see it. And so how we attract people is not beating folk over the head. Amen, somebody. Amen. I tell you, see, when you help somebody, they're going to listen to you. They're going to give you the chance to talk, to say, to introduce what you are all about. And that was Jesus' way back then, and that should be our way today. Every ministry that we have here at this church is geared toward, yes, we feed folks. Yes, we help people get jobs. Yes, we help our young people. Yes, we want them to get an education. Yes, we want them to do well. But we're trying to lead people to kingdom living. Because we're trying to get to heaven, amen, somebody. Ultimately, and that's what Jesus was about. And he had large audiences, and people followed him, and they flocked him. They didn't want him to leave. Listen to what else he says. He says, he goes on to say, for I was sent for this purpose. He says, I was sent here to preach the kingdom of God. And I was sent here to let everybody know that you need to be in the kingdom of God. So he kept on, verse 44, so he kept on preaching in their synagogue. And so that's the gist of Jesus' purpose, his ministry, and that's what he did. He kept it simple, and that's what he did. Every town he went to, he healed folks, he helped folks. People say, who is this man? How did he get this power? He's helping folks. And they listen. He taught over and over again. And we have one of his premier lessons in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Turn there with me, and we'll end in Matthew chapter 5. One of his some people call it the Sermon on the Mount, where he's teaching and as no others had taught, and Scripture would say in verse number one. This is his kingdom teaching. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. Let me just say this also, is that if you too impatient, if you too fidgety, if you're too busy, if you're too intelligent to be taught, you won't make it to heaven. It's God's way. Some people,
I don't like going to church.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, because especially when you're younger, nowadays time, with the traction, anybody been to the movie lately? I know some of you go to a lot of movies. You know, at the movie, I went to a movie, Black Panther. I went to see Black Panther 2 weeks ago. They make these movies now where you feel like you sitting right, you feel like you running with the panther. I'm talking about it's entertainment, boy. They make it. And you know, if you haven't been, some of you adults haven't been in a while, you go to the movie, I'm like, you, not just the movie, the previews of the movie. You know, before the movie come on, I mean, they had so many previews, I was just jumping in. Everything is so interactive because they're competing. They want to keep your attention. They want you there. They want you to be happy. They want you to come back. Can I ask you a question? Or can I make a statement? You do know that the Black Panther, you do know that's just a movie, right? You do know that nobody can do the stuff that, you do know that, right? What are you saying, Brother Gary? You do know that that's fantasy, right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. See, listen, we need to deal with reality. Jesus started teaching. Listen to what he said. Verse 3. He said, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. Notice this. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There'd be people that ain't never heard nothing like that before. And now he's preparing people for the kingdom of God. Now, before this time, they are not in the kingdom. Jesus' main message was, repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. It's about to come. He's trying to prepare people for the way God wants us to behave, to act in the kingdom. He makes it same. He said, blessed are the poor. And what do you mean the poor in spirit? And I don't have time to elaborate on all of these. He said, what do you mean the poor in spirit? He said, in life, the life that you live in now, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, listen, and he didn't say blessed are the poor, first of all. You know, he said the poor in spirit. And notice how he's speaking to the spirit. He says, happy is the person that learns how to be content in life, learns how not to be anxious for life's riches, learns how to be, life, we're living in a broken world, where there is sin, chaos everywhere. And you know, there is no, God didn't promise you because you're serving him, you're going to be rich. And some of us, our lives exist, we're so anxious, I need this, I want this, I can't have this. And our mind, we are just so unsettled. And Jesus said, listen, happy is the person who learns how to be humble, who learns how to be content where they are, who learns not to crave and have this greedy desire for everything that's in this world. And it's an attitude that stop wishing stuff that ain't gonna happen. Stop making yourself nervous. It's not stop having desire, stop having ambition. But it's the person who accepts where they are, learns to live within their means, Learn us to be humble. He said, theirs is the king. Thank God. See, the person that can come in here and worship God and enjoy the songs and sing and pray and stop having this pity party, why me, and why complaining about everything, and say, just say, you know what, I'm glad that I'm here today. I thank the Lord that things are as well as they are today. Because all you have to do is open your eyes a little bit and look around and realize how blessed. And so Jesus started saying, blessed are the poor, be people hearing this. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. Because this world will make you mourn, won't it? Amen. Yeah. I mean, we mourn every week here. We heard it yesterday. One of our Spanish sisters passed away. And just people crying everywhere. But you know what Jesus is saying? Hang in there. Hang in there. You know, listen, you're not to it. It doesn't just happen to you. It's going to happen to everybody. He says, you mourn, cry for the ones we love. But listen, don't dig a hole. Don't hide. He says, you mourn for your mom. You mourn for people who die. But you have to put your faith in God. Amen, somebody. You're going to be comforted. Says, don't despair. He says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit. This is profound. This is kingdom. He says to the spirit of the person in the kingdom. Don't be harsh and mean and cruel. Don't fly off the handle with everything that happens. Calm down, people. He says, happy, and that's going to help your blood pressure. Amen, somebody. It's going to help you. You know, I have to tell my daughters, it's just amazing watching them raising kids. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, them kids, boy, kids can get on you. Know what I'm talking about. Boy, they will test you, and then they start, you know, especially when they get the age, they can say, mama, mama, mama. Mama, mama. And I'd be sitting there just listening, and I started laughing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give it to him. Say it again. and my kids, oh Lord, they get on their nerves, and I hear them, sit down, and then Mama say, no, why are you hollering at? Mama, don't you say nothing. And this, I say, why are you so stressed out? Well, Dad, they always doing something. I said, you used to do the same thing. Same thing. So be quiet. Let them have it. But you see, listen to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Something, see, you know, I've learned. I'm telling you, it's good to be gentle. Some of us need to listen to Jesus' word. These are the words that Jesus was teaching. He wanted to. He don't want us to be frantic. And suppose our elders got up in here and just every time they just, you know, they harsh. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and for they shall be satisfied. I love it. That's why I love this church. I love our Bible school teachers. Brother, we have a school at the Fifth Ward Bible Institute, and Brother J.T. Allen, Brother Ivory Doe, Brother Ray Wilkerson, and myself. We administrate the class, and we have students that's in the class, and I haven't been teaching that much. But I sit in the classes and I watch Brother Allen and Brother Ray, Brother E, how when we're going through the questions that they stress staying with the Bible, staying with righteousness, and this church, our Bible school teachers, how we emphasize right. Well, see, you sanctify them with thy word. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And we want to know what the truth is. Says, and you will be satisfied. You know, you'll be satisfied if you just keep seeking the truth. Jesus says, no, truth is not relative. It's not, well, truth is whatever. No, truth is what God says is true. That God be true and all men a lie. Yeah, and that's the only way you're going to know what truth is to say there is a standard. Yeah, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall. This is what Jesus said. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is kingdom teaching. Now, he was teaching this to all of these crowds. Because, you know, most people, you know, have you ever seen when someone is sentenced to either death penalty and they go to the sentencing, or they go to where it's actually going to be performed, carried out, and they interview the people after and says, well, he got what he deserved. And in many cases, that may be true. You know, when somebody kills somebody, somebody murder somebody, somebody rape somebody, bless their soul. Bless their soul. Especially when it's one of your relatives. Amen. Amen. They go to the law, they get their sentence, and God bless them. But I don't. If one of your relatives, if that happens to some of you, and it's happened to members of our body here, and they interview you, don't say they got what they deserve. I'm just saying. I'm trying to use Jesus' words. See, now they might have got what they deserve, but if we all got what we deserve, I mean, just tell the truth about it. I am never killed nobody. You done something though. Some of us, you know what? And some of us say we have never done something, but you know what? If we really just turn the pages and find out some of the devilment that you did do. I mean, that's some things you can do. There's you want me to start? No. And Jesus said, he said, blessed are anybody gonna need some mercy when they stand before the Lord? Yeah. And see, this is what separate. This is what sets Jesus apart. And so he taught about the kingdom. Notice this. Now I'm closing. In Matthew chapter 16, this is closer to the end of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And you know, they were saying Jesus was John the Baptist. He was Elias. He was one of the prophets. And he says, but who do you say? This is a question. This is a question that, and we're talking about this, we're talking about facts. But ultimately, it's who do you say that he is? Because if Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, if he's doing all of this teaching about how he wants us to live in the kingdom, he's going to hold us accountable for his teaching. And we're talking about kingdom. We're not talking about what happened. See, in the Old Testament, it says an eye for an eye. If somebody steal your cat. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, but I say, love your enemies. Anybody got any enemies in here? That's a different. See, that means that you can't be harboring in your mind. I hate him. I hate her. And I know sometimes we say he makes me sick. I know people do make you sick, but don't hate. Don't build up. Don't. I wish a rock fall on him. Don't do that. What I'm supposed to do? See, you're supposed to wish that their soul is saved. Some of us need to pray a prayer right now. We Christian right now. We need to say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. Because I surely had her crucified in my mind. Peter says, you're the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, I hope you say that. When all of this is over, let me stop. I got to stop. Oh, I want to tell you about this kingdom. Listen. If you're not in the kingdom of God, you don't have a chance. According to the scriptures, according to the autobiography we read about Christ, because Jesus went on to die for his kingdom. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I know church sometimes can be challenging. But church is not just coming to worship on Sunday morning. Because sometimes, see, church is more than just coming to Sunday morning worship. Jesus died for the kingdom. The kingdom is made up of all different kind of people, all different races of people. But if you're not in his kingdom, then you don't have a chance when it comes to standing before Jesus Christ. See, if you're here today, you're not baptized into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the kingdom of his dear son, then you have the opportunity to do that today. By faith, believing that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for all of our sins. That was the culminating act, him dying on the cross and raising from the dead, that established his church, his kingdom, which he talked about, which he said, which is at hand, that came into fruition just 50 days after he was raised from the dead. And we're still preaching and teaching the same message that Jesus taught to his apostles. And we're going to teach it until the Lord calls us home. You're here today, you want to be added, just like they were added in the Bible. You hear God's word. You believe it with all of your heart. You repent of all of your sins. You confess Christ and you baptize in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And he adds you to his kingdom. It's as simple as that. Is there anyone who wants to be added to the kingdom of God even today? Is there anyone who want to get something right in your life today? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
There's a mountain reaches for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to his bring. Tears about of love from the source above. And he bids us all freely drink. Will you come
to the fountain free?
Will you come?
Tears
for you and me, thirsty soul.
Hear the well, come.
Tears about him open for all. There's a living stream
with a crystal gleam
from the throne.